just worship together.
Oh,
preach again. Our God is in control, steadfast, unmovable, 'cause nothing's impossible, 'cause our God, He reigns forever. Our God is in control, steadfast, unmovable, nothing's impossible, 'cause our
lift the name of Jesus in this place this morning. Come on, we know He's done great things and He's gonna do even more. So let's lift Him up in this house. Oh, we need Your presence, oh God, we need You. And all we want and all we need is found. More of You, so much more, 'cause nothing else can satisfy our heart's desire, and all we want is more of You. Declare it.
For the Lord is good.
Come on, church, tell Him.
And His love is for the Lord is good forever.
And I'll shout it out from the mountaintop.
The Lord is good. Praise Him for being good. I believe it's time for us to really press into the presence this morning. Come on, let's just believe He's good and know He's good, and He'll show Himself to be good. You have a good God today, amen? You have a good God today who wants to bring goodness and mercy into your life. So let's praise Him for that. Hallelujah.
And all we need is found in Jesus. And all we ask is more of You.
More of You.
good news to the bound and the poor. He says, I am. Whatever you need today, he says, I am. I am. I am the righteous one. I am the lamb. I am the ram in the bush for Abraham. I am the ultimate sacrifice for sin. I am your redeemer, the beginning and the end.
Because he's all those things, I think right now would be a very appropriate time for us to pray for one another. As I'm worshiping and as I'm hearing the words of this song, I'm beginning to realize that somebody needs him to be some of that for you today. And so maybe you're in here, maybe you're stressed, maybe you're worn out, maybe you're burdened, maybe you're going through something. Well, guess what? You've come to the right place today. My family and I got to go to a zoo with Adelie and Anderson this past week or so. And through the whole thing was great, but my favorite part was the lions. We got to a couple different lions, and there's a few different lions as you go along this path. And the last lion we get to starts to roar. And I've never actually heard a real lion in real life roar before. I was absolutely blown away. I had no idea how intense a lion's roar is. If you've ever heard it, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't heard it, you have no idea. The Bible says that Satan, he's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, right? But what the Bible also says is that Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So where the enemy thinks he's a lion, acts like a lion, he's not a lion. But Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And so right now, what I want us to do, I want you to get with somebody today. If you have a need, if you just need God to touch you, I want you to step into the aisle right now. If you have a need of any kind, maybe you have a physical need, maybe you need God to touch your body, I want you to step into the aisle closest to you right now. And we're going to pray this morning. We're going to get right to it. Don't hesitate. Don't miss out on your opportunity for God to do something. There you go. You're getting it now. Just took a... God is going to do something this morning, right now, before we do anything else in this atmosphere of worship. Now, the rest of us, I want you to go find somebody to go pray with right now. This is a little bit of Sunday night style, but it's all, you're good for it. And as you feel led, pray with somebody. Find somebody to pray with. Now, the rest of you, join me in prayer right now. We're going to pray together. We're a praying church. We're going to pray together right now. Father, we thank you that, Lord, you're not just like a lion that roars, but Lord God, you are the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And God, we're grateful today that whatever we have need of, you are the solution for that, Lord God. So for every person in every aisle, Lord God, everybody that has come into this place with a need, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you'll meet that need. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Keep on praying. Here we go. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Lord, we pray to you. We ask you, Lord God, to move. We ask you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you're moving right now, God, that there's bodies being healed, that there's people dealing with anxiety being set free, depression being set free. I thank you, Lord, for freedom in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, I pray for everybody on this side to that side, Lord God, in Jesus' name. That you do it, Lord. That you do it, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Somebody shout a huge amen. 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 Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. We're getting testimonies all the time of people getting healed and delivered and having an encounter with God in moments like that. And why don't you give about two or three people a high five and say, I'm glad you're here. Look at that. You got to pray for each other before you gave each other a high five. That's the way to do it. Well, thank you for joining us here today at Charleston Church. Those of you online, thank you for joining us as well. If you don't know who I am, I'm Vinny, and I happen to be one of the pastors here. And I'm just so grateful that you've come out on a Sunday summer day to join us. And there's no place that I would rather be, and obviously there's no place that you would rather be. And so we're grateful that you're here. If you are a visitor, maybe you're here for the first time, or maybe you've come a few times, but you've never filled out a contact card. Please take that contact card, which is in the seat back right in front of you, fill that out, and when the offering is taken up, put that in there. Okay? Somebody say announcements. We have a lot of things going on here, but I do want to bring to your attention just a few announcements. On August 19th, the Ignite group, which is our junior high group, is going to Peaks Kenny. So if you have a child at that age group, in the junior high age group, the vans will be leaving here at 11 a.m. on the 19th, and they will be returning at 4 p.m. on the 19th. And then somebody say August 20th. August 20th. We're continuing our empowering education, and the supplies that are going to be taken up next week are notebooks, binders, and folders. So please come prepared for that. And then somebody say September 3rd. September 3rd, we're doing again our annual back-to-school prayer service, and so you want to come out for that. And then directly after the service, we are having our back-to-school bash. There's going to be barbecue. There's going to be a bounce house for the kids. And I even hear there's going to be a rock wall. So whoever likes climbing rock walls and all of that, Dennis, I know you're going to like climbing that rock wall. So you're going to want to do that. And so if you just please bring your attention to the screens, there's a video for you.
It's a great reminder that people at this church and God, they care about us.
Give us the encouragement that we need to step into a new beginning.
I am so thankful for the back to school prayer. The children will come in toward the back of the church and they'll walk through a line, and the staff and the board members of the church will lay hands on each and every child.
It makes me feel good because I know that there's people praying for us, and so we have a good year at school.
Watching it is actually very emotional. I think I'm so proud to have my children be in a church where they care so much for the children and take the time to lay hands on each and every child.
All the children and the teachers, principals, superintendents, anyone involved in the school system, bus drivers, food service workers, custodians, anyone. And it really gets us a fresh start.
It's really encouraging and uplifting to me to hear everybody pray for me, just to know that I'm not alone, you know.
It really helps with their anxieties of going back to school and knowing that they have not just their parents praying for them, but the entire church praying for them also.
I know that that God is watching over me and that I'll be safe.
Just as essential as it is to get all the stuff that you need for school, like the backpacks and the clothes and the school supplies, I think that the back to school prayer is absolutely essential, and we wouldn't miss it for anything.
Ushers, if you please make your way down here. It was so good. We're going to play it for you again. That was great. I think Beth did the video of all that, and she did an awesome job. Thank you, Beth. It was awesome. But ushers, if you make your way down, listen, there are a lot of awesome things happening in this church. God is on the move. God is doing great things from the youngest of us to the oldest of us. And it's an awesome thing to be part of. But what I've been praying about, and what God has really shown me, is that God wants to do more. That there's more that God's going to do. And I want to be part of that. And I want you to be part of that. And I believe that you want to be part of that. And so because God's going to do more, it takes participation. You know, in the kingdom of God, it's not one person that can do it all. In fact, Jesus himself said that it's good that I go to the Father, because greater things will you do in my name. So the kingdom of God is really, it's got a team mindset to it. And so everything that God's doing moving forward requires a team. And all of us together are one big team for Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And so because we belong to a team, and it's kind of set up like that, that God set up a system of for us called the tithes and the offering that we get to participate in. And I've grown. When I first started coming to church, I did not believe in tithes and offering. I love the church. I love the preaching. I love worship. But why was it every single Sunday did they have to go after my money? I don't know about you, but I seriously had that thought for for a couple of years. But then all of a sudden, God started working on my heart, and I began to realize that, wait a second, I'm part of the team. I'm not just going to a church, but I'm actually part of a church, and I'm part of a team. I'm part of something that's bigger than myself. I'm part of something that is reaching people beyond the walls of the church, and I want to be part of that in a greater way. And as soon as I began to receive that revelation that, you know, it's not just about me, it's about the team. And it's not even just about the team, it's about others. That God pricked my heart and really started putting it on my heart to start giving. Before I even got really the whole idea of what tithing was all about. As I've grown and I've learned the principles of tithing, I've become more and more confident that my wife and I have conversations all the time. Like right now we're in a season where we are having a hard time thinking that we could outgive God. So I said, well, we should find $10,000 somehow so we could just, you know, put it down. Our faith hasn't reached there quite yet, but we're getting to it. Someday we will do that. Why do I share all that with you? It's a blessing to be a part of a team. It's a great thing to be part of a team, and it's a great thing to invest in a team. And so I just want to encourage you that when you give, you're giving to the kingdom of God. You're giving to a team. You're giving to you're participating in something in a group effort to accomplish something that's far bigger, far greater than you. Far bigger and far greater than you as an individual could ever accomplish on your own. That's what happens when we give each and every Sunday. So Father, I pray that as just like you did for me, Lord, and put it on my heart to be part of the team, part of the kingdom, and to give, Lord God, I pray that you'll also inspire some people's hearts here today to be part of the team, to give, to invest in the team, Lord God, so that we can do not just what we're doing now, but so that we can do more. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everybody. Love seeing y'all give. Pastor Ward is away today with his family, and he'll be back next week. So I get to preach to you today. It's pretty exciting. Yeah. I'm excited. It's a much better view of the church than it was last week for me. I'm going to share a little bit about that later. But today, I'm going to preach a message about the 12 traits of the greats, just like Pastor and Darcy have been preaching. And I'm going to share one of the disciples with you, and a great thing about him that can really inspire us to go deeper in our relationship with Christ. But before we do, let me just lift our hands to the Lord tonight, today. Let's just thank him in this place. He's been so good.
I feel Jesus. I feel Jesus. I feel Jesus in this place.
Yes.
Yes, my soul does burn within. I feel Jesus in this place.
Hallelujah. Sing it again. I feel
Jesus.
I feel Jesus.
I feel Jesus. I feel Jesus in this place.
How my soul?
Yes, my soul does burn within me. I feel Jesus in this place.
Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 9, verses 1 to 2. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 to 2. Praise God. It's good to see everybody here today. Y'all look good. When we were in practice, I was just kind of having my own little time over here playing. And about half the time during practice, I never told anybody here, but about half the time of practice, I couldn't even get the song out. Not because I was tired or not because I was having heart issues and whatnot. I was having God issues. He's here. And I was singing, I had to pull away and my voice cracked and my eyes began to swell. Because I felt the presence of the Lord. I felt the presence of the Lord powerfully. And these songs that I sing and they had more meaning to me today. It felt really good to be standing and singing, "The Lord is good and his love endures forever." It did something to me. I'm excited about what Jesus is going to do with us here in this church today. In Luke chapter 9, verse 1 to 2, it simply says, Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure all diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. Father, I thank you for the word. I thank you for the people you've used in the word to speak to us. And I pray, God, you'll do it again today like you always do and speak to us mightily so we can leave here better than we came. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody say amen. 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 Thank you, guys. Thank you. I'm going to get to the disciple I'm going to talk about in a second. But I just want to kind of lay some groundwork. How many know that there is a physical realm, a flesh world that we see? I look at Jared and I see his awesome yellow tie. That's flesh. I see him. I can walk up to him and I can see him face to face. I can shake his hand, you know, mess his hair up and oh, that's not good. That's not good. I can do that because it's what we see and what we feel and what we touch. It's the senses. I remember when I was in middle school, this would have been a terrible game. I was in kindergarten, a lot different. We had this game where we were learning how to use our senses and how to we obviously knew how to use our senses, but how to kind of like make our senses better. And so they put blindfolds on you and they put things in you grab stuff and put it in your mouth and you had to decide, tell them what it was. And it was an orange peel. I ate it. I was like, that's like an orange peel. Because in kindergarten, right? That's like an orange peel. And then it was like a celery stalk. And then some fool put a pickle in my mouth when I was 5 years old. And it scarred me for life. It's the most disgusting thing in the world. I spit it out and it was like, ah! Ah! What was that? It was a pickle. But that's the physical world we live in. We use our senses. We see things. We hear things. We smell things. We taste things, we touch things, right? But how many know that this isn't it? This is not the only realm, the only thing that we as people of God have access to. We don't have to look at our deficiencies and our problems and our hang-ups and our addictions and all of that and just try to find natural ways to get through them. Because there's a supernatural realm out there that is ripe for us to connect with. A supernatural realm that is powerful, beautiful, wonderful. And if we could look up with eyes in the spirit, we would see that there are things in the sky that are helping us and trying to hurt us. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood enemies, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. There's a real world out there that's really trying to get at us, and a real world out there that wants to get in us so we can beat everything that comes against us. Everybody say supernatural. There is a supernatural dimension that as believers we are now entitled to because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. We don't have to settle for just getting by as believers. Amen? We have to settle for just getting by. Well, this is the hand I've been dealt. God has all the cards we need in heaven to give back to us. And so if we've been dealt a bad hand, ask the dealer for a new one. Ask God to say, I need something new, Jesus, because this is not where I want to be. This is not where I'm meant to be. I'm meant for more. Supernatural. Everybody say supernatural. Supernatural. It's a real place. It's a real system. We can be affected through it. We can feel it, we can sense it, and we can access it. How many here have ever like felt the supernatural power of God in your life? Put your hand up, testify. Everybody who hasn't, look around. This isn't just something that we're making up. This is the real deal. There are people who really hear the voice of God and go to people and tell them what's going on. There are people who really feel the voice of God and fall out under the anointing. And there are real people like Vinny who spin around in the altar like a crazy top because the Spirit of God is on him. I'm telling you, it's a real thing, and this supernatural power of God is real, and it's for us. It's for us. It's not meant to be something far off. It's not meant to be us like we're in the dead of winter in Maine, and we look online and we watch these pictures of people, you know, surfing in Hawaii, and you're like, if only. That's not what supernatural is for us. We're not in the dead of winter and other people are surfing the waves in Hawaii in the sun. That's for us as well. The supernatural is for all people who will believe. Part of being connected to the Holy Ghost and part of being connected to God means we're connected to something bigger. It's not just about us. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 to 6, even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace we've been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places. That's where we meant to be. That's where we are. That's what our birthright as believers are. You may come in here today and you may not have a relationship with Christ and you struggle. I'm here to tell you, there is a life where struggle belongs to God. Where struggle belongs to him, and he endows us, endues us with power. Because when we're connected to the Holy Spirit and we're connected to God, we're connected to something much bigger than anything we could see, feel, hear, or touch. I've met some very broken people who get really mad at faith preaching and speaking about healing and deliverance and all of that stuff because they've never experienced it. And when you really get down to it, they don't believe it. And it breaks your heart because they're entitled to it just as much as anybody else. If they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and if they'll just expect and connect with God on a personal level, they have access to it as well. Because that's how God made it. The Bible says, this is what the Bible says. Jesus taught us that the supernatural power of God should be the source of our power. This is what he wants. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 10, he teaches us to pray, right? Jesus says, pray like this. This is our prayer, every time. This is when we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Does God want people to be broken in heaven? Absolutely not. So why does he want people broken on earth? Jesus, when he was on the earth, he came and he stood in the synagogue and he read from Isaiah and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. For he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. That's the will of God. That's the will of God on earth as it is in heaven. And so we shouldn't have to live any other way. Freedom comes as a man or a woman of God. And if we don't experience it, it's not because you're a bad person. It's not because you're faithless. It's because you can be stuck. But praise God, we can get unstuck. Praise God, we don't have to stay there. Say amen. Amen. It's time as people of God that we need to open up our expectation. Open our expectation to the supernatural power and moving of God. To what he actually can do. What can God really do? Well, if the Bible says he can do it then he can do it now. I preached a message years ago called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And I had Donnie Keppel come in on his motorcycle. And it was a Honda or something. And I called it a hog. And everyone was like, that's a Harley. And so I said, well, this is a Piglet. They got just as big a kick out of it today as they did then. And I spoke this message, don't sweat the small stuff, because everyone here who is saved has experienced by far the greatest miracle the world has ever seen. Because by nature, we were children of wrath. By nature, we were sinful and separated from God. That's who we are, right? Because sin entered our life, boom, that's who we become. Children of wrath, sinners, that's what we are. There's nothing we can do about it. But Jesus came and he bore the weight of our sin and iniquity, the Bible says, to the cross on Calvary, and he died and he rose again, taking our punishment and giving us a way to heaven. And all we need to do is come to him and say, Lord, forgive me of my sin. I believe what you did. You're my Lord and Savior. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that he's Lord. And the Bible says, you're saved. The motorcycle came in, and I was saying, you can't take this motorcycle to a mechanic and say, make a spaceship. You can't say, make this into a spaceship, or I want this to be into a nuclear reactor. Because he can't change the essence of the bike. But the mechanic can take the busted, I don't know anything about motorcycles, so forgive me if I say this wrong. The busted muffler, and what are some things on bikes, Monty? Shout them out. Handlebars, chain. Do these things, they don't have carburetors anymore, right? That was like 1930s or something like that, right? Everything that's wrong with that bike, to make it not work, to make it run bad, to make it cough, to make it hack, everything that's wrong with it, the mechanic can fix, but he can't change the essence. Everything that's wrong with you, everything that goes on in your life, everything that you're facing, everything that you're struggling with, everything that you can't get out of your head and it's pulling you down, God can fix. Why? Because he can change your essence. If he can change what we were, he can change everything about us. Supernatural power of God. He can do it before, he'll do it again. And he'll do it with you. And he's done it with me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everybody say hallelujah. He is a healer. He's an empowerer. Hallelujah. He's our comforter, our friend. He's the best life coach you could ever have. Hallelujah. He'll tell you what you need to do. He's our Father, our Redeemer, and our Blesser. And his desire is for us to get on board with a move of God that will define us. Let me tell you, you may be a young teenager in here, still trying to figure out who you are. It's not too early for you to let God be your definition. And you may be on the other end of life. You may have seen decades of your life gone by. And I'm telling you too as well, it is not too late for you to have Jesus define your life. You don't have to go out weak. You can go out stronger. You can go through the next 20, 30 years of your life stronger than you were the first 60 or 70 years of your life. Because that's what God can do if we'll connect with him supernaturally. So there's a disciple. And when you're talking about supernatural power and you're talking about this type of thing, you might think I'm thinking of like Peter or John, you know, John, the revelator. the revelator. John, the, you know, he wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and everything, but I think Darcy preached on both of those already, so I couldn't. Wasn't her. There is this obscure guy who has one name in the book of John and a different name in the other books when he's mentioned. In the other books, his name is Bartholomew. But in the book of John, his name is Nathanael. Nathanael is a guy that we can learn from because he had expectation. He was open to the move of God in a way that I believe you and I can learn from and just kind of set our life forward in ways that, you know, we never had before. The Bible says, ooh, I lost it. There it is. Hello. There we go. Man, if they only invented something that doesn't do that. Oh, wait, paper. I forgot about it. They do have such a thing. Paper, yes. Paper. John chapter 1, verse 46 to 49. Philip was a disciple of Jesus, and he had a good friend named John. I preached, a good friend named Nathanael. And I preached this before. My first message to the teenagers about this was about Andrew, who just told his brother about Jesus. And how important it is for us to tell people, to bring people to the Lord. But Philip came to Nathanael and he said, we found the Lord. We found the Messiah. We found the Son of God. His name's Jesus of Nazareth. That's who he is. You've got to come see. Nathanael was sitting under a fig tree, pondering life's, you know, whatever. He was a smart guy. He was a well thought out guy. And this is what happened. Nathanael said to him, John chapter 1, verse 46, can anything good come out of Nazareth? It's a great way to start. Bashing the place where the Savior's from. Nazareth? Alton? No one can come from Alton. What are you talking about? Savior's from Alton? Psh, what's this all about? That's what it was like. A whole group of people shut off because they're from Nazareth. Philip said to him, come and see. So Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, and he said to Nathanael, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. And Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? I follow you on Facebook. I creep you on Facebook and Instagram constantly. Yes. Jesus answered, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And Nathanael answered, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. First thing I want to tell you about this is, number one, desire will become demonstration. And if we have a desire, it will become the demonstration. We've spoken about our experience in Florida, Vinny and I, and my wife, and how the demonstration of the Holy Spirit was something that not necessarily was super common among us, but we had a desire when we went down there, and when we went down there, that desire was fulfilled because the desire became the demonstration. Nathanael had a desire to meet the Lord. Everyone was waiting for the Messiah. You see, what was happening is that way back a couple hundred years before, The Assyrians took over, and the Babylonians took over, and then everybody was dispersed, and the Persians came in, the Medes and Persians came in, and then the Greeks came in, which were the Seleucids and the Ptolemies, and all this infighting in Israel, God's people were just kind of like getting shuffled around like, you know, like a shuffleboard or like a tossed salad, just, where am I going? Who am I? Ah! You know, I bet you they had tents in their colleges to make them feel better too. If they whined, they died. That's just the way it works for them. It was a lot better. And so anyway, what happened was, and then there was this thing called the Maccabean Revolt where the Jews actually took over. And that's where Hanukkah comes from. If you did some study, you know, there's a whole story with that. But then after the Maccabean Revolt, the big, powerful, heavy-handed Roman Empire took over. The Roman Empire had the Jews back in their native land, but they were under the thumb, under the hand, under the foot of the Roman Empire. And so these people, with the prophecies that has been around, with God being silent for hundreds of years, were aching, were antsy, were desperate for the move of God and desperate for the Messiah to come. So Nathanael was desperate. He was waiting. He was waiting for something to come. You see, desire needs to precede the demonstration. You come into a place with nothing, and you come in, especially if you're a believer, you come in with absolutely no expectation, no desire, you're probably going to walk out the door the same way. But you come in ready and amped up for something special to happen, and you're going to be open to whatever God wants to do. Nathanael was waiting for something. He was one of those guys, but he wasn't perfect. He kind of was a little bit of a bigot. Can anything good come out of Nazareth, he said. First thing he said about Jesus of Nazareth, well, he's from the wrong side of the tracks. I'm not going to follow someone from there. What does that tell me about accessing the supernatural, about that? Is that our past, our thoughts, who we were, what we've done, and even what we bring to the table doesn't cut us off from God's power. You could come in here after the worst week of your life, and it doesn't cut you off from what God wants to do in your life. The only thing that cuts you off is unbelief. If you don't believe what God is going to do in your spirit, then you won't receive what God is going to do here in the altar, or in your life, or in your prayer closet, or in your car, or at your job. And you'll keep going back down to those roads. But if we'll just believe, I'm telling you, things will begin to change. Nathanael was open to what Jesus could bring to the table. And so his preconceived ideas about Nazareth were gone, simply because Jesus said, I saw you under the tree. That's pretty cool to me, because the supernatural moment was a word of knowledge. And we find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It talks about when someone comes up to you under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and tells you something that happened to you that no one could know. It's a word of knowledge. And Jesus came and he spoke to Nathanael, and he had just a few words, a simple conversation. When you were under that fig tree, I saw you. Everything blew up in Nathanael's life. Just for that. Because he was seeking and searching, and it didn't take anything for him to get on board with what God was doing. Jesus saw him waiting for something spectacular, and he came in. And when you're ready and waiting for the spectacular and the supernatural, it'll be easy for you to walk in. But sometimes we come in and we let the weights of the world hold us down. We let the things in our life and in our past keep us from what God actually wants us to do and where God wants us to be. Because maybe we're not sitting under our fig tree waiting for the Savior. Maybe we're stressed out at home or stressed out at work, or we're having a problem with our wife or our husband or our kids, and we have life hitting us. And I'm telling you, when we allow the things to cloud our mind and our spirits, we start losing that desire for the demonstration of God's power. We don't need to lose that. That doesn't have to leave us ever. Number two, faith will bring the fire. And in John chapter 1, verse 50 to 51, the Bible says this. Jesus answered him after the whole encounter, when Jesus said, I saw you under the fig tree. And Nathanael said, wow, you are the Son of God. That's amazing. Wow. I mean, that's like, it was so simple. I wish it was that simple all the time, right? We could come here and say, God is good. Wow! Yeah! Excuse me. That was back kindergarten Paul again. That's what that was. You know, in the book, I believe it was the book of Nehemiah or one of those books there. I can't exactly remember where it was. I think it was Nehemiah. The Bible says they opened the book and they began to read from the Bible, began to read from the law. And then they closed the book and the crowd began to stand up and lift their hands and shout. It can be that easy. You know, it can be that easy to connect with God. We don't have to complicate it by waiting for a specific thing that happened 10 years ago to happen again. Maybe God wants to do it different tomorrow. If God wants to touch you in a different way, maybe we just need to be ready for it. So this is what happened. Jesus answered him. This is really cool. Jesus said, because, I mean, I can see him kind of being like, what? That was so easy. He said, because I saw you under the fig tree, you believe? wow, this guy was easy. I wish the rich young ruler was like that. You know, I mean, he's just like, I just told you I saw you in the tree. That was it. Man, my job is easy. He said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. He said, you believe the door. You just wait till you open it and see what comes next. Nathanael was one of those ones that God breathed on, sent out, and saw miracle signs and wonders. He's the one who helped build the church. He was martyred for Christ. He built churches all over, just like every disciple did. But I believe it was because he was willing to listen to the small thing that Jesus was saying, which opened the door to the big thing. Hallelujah. That's good. That's expectation. And I want to, you know, I was telling the youth about this the other week, and I kind of pictured it like the door of the supernatural. You walk up to a house, and it's a beautiful house, a big house. You know, not the big house, but a big house. A big house. And you walk up, and you're like mystified by the beautiful stonework leading up to the door, and they got the bushes all cut like Disney World. And instead of like Mickey Mouse and stuff, it's like angels fighting with swords. You know, you're like, this is cool. You know, you're just walking up and you're getting in. You're getting into the supernatural of God where he's touching. And you're just like, this is amazing. And you get up to the porch and you're like, this is the best laid deck I've ever seen. Look at that door. Wow, this is amazing. And Jesus walks out of the door and he says, wait until you see what's inside the house. You see, we stay out here, we get a touch out here, and then we walk away. But this isn't where God wants us to stay, but this is where God wants us to get hooked. This is where we need to start putting out our, I'll talk about it in a second, I don't want to jump. I want to talk about expectation. Everybody say expectation. We are rightfully told to expect God to do miraculous things everywhere we go, right? We've been told for years, expect God to change everything. Just come to church and expect him to just crazy things. See people healed, saved, delivered, jump, make people jump around, make even the most reserved people run around the building. Yes! It's going to happen. You will run. It's probably not the right laugh for that. It's okay though. I feel it. We're rightfully told to go to every altar, to every divine appointment, every meeting we can, every moment with an expectation that God's going to blow the roof off. We should. We do. Some of us do. You know what we also need to do? We need to refine our expectations as well. Not settle them down, not bring them down. No, just make them very sensitive to what God is doing. Nathanael had a conversation, and that led him to the moments where his roof was blown off. If Nathanael was sitting down underneath the tree, fighting with his friends, doing whatever he has, maybe his conversation with Jesus, when Jesus says, I saw you under the tree, would be, instead of saying, wow, you are the Son of God, his response would have been big deal. But you see, his expectation was so pinpoint on touching and experiencing God, it didn't take anything for him to get connected to what God wanted him to do. We need to take the weight of all that stuff off of us, come into church and say, even the smallest touch from Jesus, I'm going to move at. Whatever he's going to speak to me, whatever he wants me to do. For some of us, it might be lifting a hand in worship. You may have to walk out of your seat. When someone's down on the altar, God may be speaking to your heart. So you just walk down and put your hand on their back. But you're like, nah, it's not, you know, not lights and bells and whistles. It's just me. No, it's probably God saying, listen to me. You know, when David was in the, in the cave, and Saul was in the cave with him, the Bible says David went up to Saul and he wanted to kill him. His people wanted him to kill him, but he says, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. But then he took the hem of his garment, the bottom of his garment, and cut it and sliced it. And went back. And immediately God said, you shouldn't have done that. Just that simple. You shouldn't have done that. And he felt the convicting power of God, and it broke him. It moved him even further into the power of God. But when his sensitivity got broken, he was sleeping with another man's wife. and he brought him back to try to make her, him sleep with her so he could cover it. And when he wouldn't, he sent him to battle to die. And I can imagine God in the background going, "Stop, David!" But he didn't listen. Because somewhere, some point, the sensitivity of his, whatever you want to call him, the sensitivity of his spirit lost some of it. And when God was speaking to him, he didn't answer, and he kept leaving cold and dark and getting tired and getting broken and getting disconnected from God more and more and more. Yet when he was connected to God, just slicing off a little bit of fabric made his heart ghost. You shouldn't have done that. That's what I'm talking about. I believe sometimes we can become so enamored with something that's happened in the past or something that we're looking for the same thing and we won't move until we feel it. We're sitting in our seats or we're at home or in our car or whatever, and if we don't feel God the same way I felt him in 1964, same way I felt him in 2003, the same way I felt him at camp, the same way I felt him last week, then I'm not going to move because God's not in it. Well, he's in it, you're just not listening. That's expectation that we need. We need the expectation that he'll do amazing things, and we need the expectation that he'll do the small things to get us to the amazing things. Hallelujah. That's what Nathaniel teaches us. Nathaniel teaches us that it doesn't take much to get connected to God. It doesn't take much to move into that extra special step. Before you were here, I saw you sitting under that tree. What do you want me to do, God? That's all it took. What's it take for us sometimes? The right song, the right lighting, the right preacher, the right reflections. It just takes God saying, "I'm here. Why don't you worship? I'm here. Why don't you pray to me? He's sad. Go lay a hand on him." It's amazing what will happen after that. Because the door is nice enough, but when we open it, it's a whole other ballgame. And if we'll just simply do the small things that God asks us to, I guarantee you the big things are just on the other side of the door. Heather, if you can come on up and play. Where are you? There's my beautiful bride. Isn't she amazing? Come on, come on. She's a good woman. I have a kind of a personal testimony about this. And of course, you all heard last week, who were here last week, that I had some issues. My wife was strong, took care of the kids for us when I was laid up. High five. That's right. My weekend last weekend was kind of awful. Which is why these songs I sung today it was amazing. The Lord is good, and his love endures forever. Oh, crazy good. So, last Friday, I was at Vinny's house, and we were having a birthday party for Anderson. Cute little fella. And I'm 35 years old, so I'm not that old. So we went out and played some wiffle ball. I hit a couple home runs. They were pretty big over the cars and stuff because I'm awesome. And then one time, I was like getting all like, I was like, yeah, this is good, I'm good. So I grab, I'm lefty like Ken Griffey Jr. We get mixed up a lot when I was younger. Everyone thought I was Ken Griffey Jr. There it is. Griffey! And the pitch came in and I swung with all my might. Now, no, you do not swing with all your might with wiffle ball because you never hit it. It's awful. You never hit it. And I did it. Whiff. And I'm like, oh, it was embarrassing. The embarrassment quickly left, because as soon as I swung the bat, my heart started going just really, really weird. I could feel it beating out of my chest, and I couldn't get it to stop. So I was like, interesting. That was my thought, interesting. And so I did what every, main man would do. I went out to the field to play wiffle ball because that's what you're supposed to do. So I went out to the field and I was waiting, but I was slow moving. I couldn't move very fast. And they were hitting the balls and the ball would come and I'd be like this. I'd pick it up and I just toss it. And it wasn't going away. I'm like, what's going on here? And after about a minute, after a couple minutes, I just left. I didn't even tell the guys where I was going. I just walked to Heather and I told her what was going on. And I said, I don't know what's happening right now. And so she got me some water. I sat down. You know, water seems to be, you know, the ultimate healer. Just like going to the bathroom. You need to go sit on the pot. That's what you need to do. That's what's wrong. You go sit on the pot and you'll be fine, you know. Neither of those things helped. It didn't go away. And so I told her, I said, we really should go to the hospital and see what's going on. And so we got them and the kids were in the car. And when we got in the car, Vinny prayed for me and we got to the car. And as I was driving to the car, I started feeling numbness in my neck, in my shoulders. It chased into my chest all the way down. I mean, it was pretty substantial. And turns out that was an anxiety. So let me take a little comma here and tell you that if you are struggling with anxiety, I know now from personal experience, it's a real thing. But I also know from personal experience that it's not too big for the Lord. That he's bigger than anxiety, and it's not something that a believer needs to deal with because God is bigger than it. And there's a verse in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4-8 that says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything make your requests made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, will guard your heart and mind. I lived on that verse last weekend. But as I went into the hospital, it was awful because my oldest son, Nate, told my in-laws that when he left the car and we went to the hospital, he said he was really nervous and scared. But he says, my daddy's really, really pale and he's looking at his hands like this. That made me more mad than anything because I'm like, devil, my kids shouldn't live in fear. Stupid Satan, garbage piece of... Blah. So I got to the hospital. It was a rough ride because of the anxiety. I didn't know if I was going to die, pass out. I didn't know what was going on. It's terrible. And then I got there and then it was the weirdest experience ever. Because you know when you go to an emergency room, you're there for at least 3 hours, bottom. In 3 minutes, I was in a room with 15 people on me, you know. Maybe not 15, six. And they were like all over me like, how you doing? I'm like, I really have to pee. Can I go pee? No, we got to sit you down. I was like, all right. But I really got to pee. You know, I really had to go. And the doctor was like, well, maybe it'll make him feel better. I was like, thank you. Only problem with doctors is they rip everything off in front of everybody. I'm like, what are you doing? Dignity. There's no dignity in hospitals. So they watched my heart and they didn't even have to put the monitor on. They put the little thing on your finger and they could see my heart was not beating right at all. It's not a good thing to hear when you're 35, your heart's not beating right. It was terrifying. So they said I was going to stay overnight. They were able to tell me that I had AFib at that point, but they didn't know why. So I took blood, did all this stuff. I had to take my thing, but my blood pressure turned out to be great. It was like 117 over 72. I'm awesome. My blood work came back. No high cholesterol. My cholesterol was flawless. Welcome back, cheese. Yes, sir. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. That was funny. And after this whole ordeal, they had an echo, and my echo turned out really, really wonderful. I mean, there's nothing wrong with me. I don't drink caffeine. I don't drink energy drinks. I don't drink coffee and everything like that. But I had this whole thing happen before the week. And they think it might have been like a perfect storm of the past 2 weeks of my life. Because attack of the devil is not part of their paperwork. And that's cool. So they got me into a room Friday night. I had a very interrupted sleep Friday night because I had to come in all the time. And then Saturday, the whole day. Let me tell you, the whole day. It was not go away the whole day Saturday. Pastor Ward came in with his family and Nate came in and it was the same thing over. They prayed for me and then Heather left Saturday night and then same thing over and it wouldn't go away. I mean, I had to have permission to go up to use the bathroom. I did not have permission to go for walks. I'm 35 years old and I'm stuck in a hospital bed. You want to talk about someone who gets discouraged? It is a bad moment. I watched a lot of Mountain Men, though. That night at 1:30 a.m., I had finally gotten to sleep, and I heard noises, and I woke up. And it wasn't a good sign because the technician came in with the EKG machine, unscheduled EKG reading. And I was like, okay. But it wasn't just her, it was the nurse, the head nurse, the RN, the head nurse, and the doctor. The medical doctor came in, and they wanted to see how I was feeling. And I was like, I was better. And then you walked in. I said, my heart's still doing the weird thing, but you know, I don't feel weird. And they said, your heart raced really high and then went really low or something like that. They said it did something that we really wanted to see. And so they hooked me up, woke me up, hooked me up, did the thing and said, we'll get back to you. And then they left. They left. And I was stuck at 1:30 in the morning with all my thoughts. I was stuck at 1:30 in the morning. Worst time of the night to be awake. Worst time in the night to struggle. That's where I was. And I was just sitting in that uncomfortable, stupid bed that felt comfortable for 5 minutes, and then you're on it for 3 days and you're like, I don't like this bed anymore. Give me a sleep number. And I was thinking, is this my future? Am I gonna be tied to stuff my whole life? Am I gonna have to be on medication for the rest of my life? Like, will I be able to run with my kids anymore? I mean, not that I could before. But am I gonna be able to, this is where the anxiety and the fear came in. But I'm a Christian. You've all been there before. Frustrating, right? You've seen loved ones get sick and loved ones die, and you're just like, why? Maybe at that point I was waiting for the lightning miracle to come and I wake up and I'm fine. I'm floating out of the room, you know, just like, look at me. It's really me. I'm a herald. I had to make a decision in that moment what my future was going to be. Am I going to be stuck here in this? In this fear and in this anxiety the rest of my life? Or am I gonna get up and do something? My faith was a little shaky at the time, so I built it. I read the word, I prayed, watched this great video from a mighty man of God who is victorious, who's prosperous. He sees people saved and healed all over the world. And his message was what to do in your darkest hour. I'm like, praise God, that's what I need. Because it felt like my darkest hour. Because it wasn't getting better. In fact, it looked like it was getting worse. Little did I know, the next morning they told me they were planning to put me in the ICU because of it. Intensive care, that's for people who were near death, not for me, right? So after I did all that, prayed and that, I felt like I needed to do one more thing. I needed to get out of my bed and I needed to speak to the sickness. That was the small thing. That was God speaking to me a little bit. He says, get out of your bed and speak to the sickness. That's what you got to do. This is where the supernatural, this was the door to the supernatural. And I had to make a decision. Laying down and saying it just didn't feel like it was enough or it wasn't right or it wasn't what. No, I needed to make a move and I needed to get out of my bed and speak to it. So you know what I did? I pressed the little nurse button. Hello, can I help you? I said, I'm going to the bathroom. Okay, just make sure you use your little thingy. I'm like, yeah, I know. Leave me alone. They want to keep all that stuff for some reason. So I went up there, I used the bathroom, washed my hands, and then I looked in the mirror. And I said, in the name of Jesus, this is not your future. I said, this belongs to Him. He has destroyed it, and I cancel the attack of the enemy on my life. In Jesus' name. I prayed for myself. And you know what? It didn't go away, but I went away. I lay down in my bed and I said, it's in His hands. It's not mine. It's God's. It's already done. And after about another 30, 40 minutes, I fell asleep. And then 30, 40 minutes later, I was woken up again. to another EKG machine. And I'm like, dear heavens. I was like, good morning. What's this about? And they said, well, you were in AFib and then you went to sinus rhythm. And I said, what's that? And they said, perfect. And I'm like, well, hallelujah. You know, praise God. And so I did. And I was like, go ahead, have at it. Pop, 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 pop. And then perfect the whole time. And I was like, does this mean I can go home? No. The next day I got to walk and move around, and I've been that way ever since. I don't know where it would have led. I don't know exactly what God ultimately healed, but I've got great cholesterol. I've got great blood pressure. I've got great blood counts. I've got great sugar. I've got a strong heart. I've got nothing wrong with me. And so I look at this and I say, this was not just an anomaly. This was the enemy trying to take me out. This was an attack of the enemy in my life. But if I didn't have my sensitivity where it needed to be, I might have missed that simple thing to stand up and say, in the name of Jesus, be gone. I might have been stuck in my problem. I've preached it a lot in my life. I've preached it a lot over my life that we can't get stuck in our problem. We've got to get stuck on our solution. And I preached it and preached it. But my kids have always been healthy and they're going to stay healthy in the name of Jesus. My wife has always been healthy and she's going to stay healthy. I have always been healthy and it's never been a problem. I've never had that personal experience where the rubber met the road and I had to put my faith where my life was. Until last week, when I was woken up at 1:30 and they said, it's not getting better. And I said, in the name of Jesus, it is. And it did. Some people might say it was going to get better anyway. It's like, I doubt it. The enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy you. He's not out to heal you. He's not out to make it better. You know what? The anxiety didn't go away that easy either. Because when I got home, I was walking like this. Like, I can't move fast. And I'm like, wait a second. The Lord touched me and I'm fine. My heart's fine. And then I just started walking. I was like, in the name. So every day I get up and my mind is telling me like, you can't do it. And my spirit says, yes, you can. And I say, in the name of Jesus, I can. And I walk and I move. I carried a table upstairs last week for Barbara. I came down, got a little Fitbit. Yeah, you know, my heart rate was at like 80. I'm like, psh, what's up, devil? You got nothing. You got nothing. What does this mean for all of us? It means that if we'll just tune our antennas to the small voice of heaven, to the small, simple things of heaven, we'll open the door to the magnificent demonstration of heaven. Let's come in every service with an expectation that God's going to rock the world, but also the expectation that whatever He says, I'm going to do. Whatever He calls me, I'm going to do it. Whenever He pricks my side, I'm going to move. If He wants me to stand up, I'm going to stand up. If He wants me to lift my hands, I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to do whatever He wants me to do. Because if we come in ready for anything, all it's going to take is a conversation to get you into the presence of God. All it's going to take is maybe somebody like myself or Heather or Vinny or one of the staff come up and say, isn't the Lord good? And you'll be like, oh, yes, He is. And then you just begin to praise. You just begin to praise. Hallelujah. We can't lose that. We can't lose our praise. We can't lose our praise. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can somebody just lift their hands today? Just praise God for the supernatural power. Praise God for being so powerful and mighty in our life. For being a supernatural God who wants to do the miraculous in us, who wants to take us from glory to glory and from faith to faith and strength to strength, that we do not have to be stuck anymore. Praise God. I'm going to ask right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if anybody in here today would say, you would say that you're not ready to meet Jesus. You don't have a relationship with him. You don't have that to lean on. You see, I went into there and it was rough, but I had Jesus to lean on. I had Jesus to pray to, but you don't, because you don't have a relationship with him. I'm here to tell you, like I said before, that he took a penalty for you. He took your past and your sin and every mistake you've ever made, and he bore it on himself. He took it on himself and he paid your price. And then he died, but then he rose from the dead, giving us eternal life. And the Bible says all we need to do is believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, and then we'll be saved. Your life can change this moment, right now, if you'll just commit your life to Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask if there's anybody here within the sound of my voice that would say, Pastor Paul, I want to give my life to Christ because I need him more now than I ever have. Is there anybody who would say that? Just raise your hand. Anybody at all? Say, I need Jesus in my life. I want to commit my life to Christ. Is there anybody at all? Praise God. Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me ask you another question. We're all grown-ups here. A lot of times it's, I get used to speaking to teenagers, young people, and I expect certain things. But I expect a decent response with this, because I really feel that a buffer to the supernatural in some of our lives is our anxiety, is our fear, which leads to unbelief and doubt. And I want to ask if there's anybody here that says, anxiety is something that I have in my life and it's holding me back and I want it out. I want to be free from anxiety. Now, I know with anxious people, sometimes it's hard to raise your hand and come forward. I totally get that. But I'm going to ask if there's anybody here that would be brave enough to say, you know what? I hear God calling my name. I hear him speaking to me. I hear him telling me that it's going to be all right, that things are going to change. And if there's anybody here today that would say, Pastor Paul, I struggle with that anxiety and I want to be free today, I want you to raise your hand. Come on, just say, that's me. I have anxiety issues. I have issues with anxiety. There's not a ton of hands, but you know what? There's hands. You're not alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, I got this. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. There's only a few of you. Church, we're going to be the people that come and minister today. Because what I said about this is that God speaks to us and tells us to do something. And if we do it, it'll open the door to something bigger. And if we are sensitive to where he wants us to be, God will take us to where we're going to go. Tonight, Vinny is going to kind of carry on a supernatural message. He's going to speak about the supernatural God as well. And so we're going to carry this and we're going to come tonight with a sensitive expectation to what God's going to do. And we're going to see absolute mayhem in the spirit tonight. But today, I want all of you who put your hand up, for you struggle with anxiety because of a job or because of something that happened, and if you didn't put your hand up, I want to invite you all to come down to this altar, and we're going to pray for you when we leave. We're all going to pray for you. We're going to do what God has called us to do as a church, and we're going to lay hands on you, and we're going to pray together, and we're going to defeat the devil, the demons that try to, the spirits that try to bring us down, and we're going to leave this place stronger and more faith-filled than we were when we came in. So I'm going to ask right now, all of you, put your hand up and come meet me down here. And let's just pray together. Come on down. Don't be shy. Here we go. That's good. That's good. Hallelujah. Come on down. Come on down. Come on. That's good. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Come on, come on. Hallelujah. I never really fully understood what anxiety felt like until last week. It's not that I was ever like, psh, they're lying. You know, it wasn't that. It's just I was like in my head, I'm like, can't you just like not be anxious? You know, like for real, right? Have I ever felt that way? Like legit, I did. Can't you just not be anxious? I mean, come on. Psh. And then I felt what I feel was legit a panic attack. and it hurt, and I couldn't breathe. And I was like, this is real, but it's not from God. So you need to understand this, all of you, that this is not a gift from God to make you more spiritual or make you more humble. This is an attack of the enemy. This is a work of the devil. Because the Bible says to be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, right? Yeah, it's tough though, I understand. We're going to start right now, and we're going to start, and it's going to carry on. You see, I had to be anxious for nothing every day, in everything. Make your prayers and your petitions and your requests made known to God. And the peace of God. Nobody needs peace more than these people down here. Peace is the opposite, the antithesis of anxiety. You know, the Bible says to cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. God's really doing something in your life. Let me just pray for you. Father, what's your name? Amber. Can you stretch out your hands to Amber? All of you down here too, just stretch your hands out to Amber. Lord, I pray for Amber in the mighty name of Jesus. God, you turn sorrow to joy. You turn anxiety to peace. And what you're doing in Amber's life right now, I pray, God, that she'll begin to sense that you are bigger and stronger and mightier than this anxiety. That Amber has a future, Lord, that is free of this. We're speaking to it now. We're speaking to anxiety now, that it is no longer having a hold on her life. We cancel the assignment of the enemy over her life. We believe it's done, and we believe that devil, that demon, that spirit needs to return to his master and say he failed, because it is not going to take Amber down. She is going to rise up and be a mighty woman of God as she casts every care on the Lord, as she casts every thought and every burden on the Lord. You've already taken them, and God, you're going to take them away. In Jesus' name, we thank you for Amber. We thank you for freedom. We thank you for liberty. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that comes in and transforms lives. Hallelujah. 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 Can I get some people to come down here and just begin to pray with these? There's not too many, but just come down. Let's just have powers and numbers here tonight. We got a few more minutes, but let's just pray with these people as Heather sings and worships and believe that God is going to change the course of their life. They are not going to be the same person that they've always been. And if you don't come down, that's great. I want you to worship. I want you to take that step, and I want you to worship. I want you to fill the atmosphere. Help us change the atmosphere from destructive for these people to peace. So come on, let's just praise Him today, just for a few minutes. Hallelujah.